Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, be with us as we speak and guide us and direct us in our thoughts and our words, in the listeners' hearts and words, that they may know what you want. And today we have with us Elwood Trost. He is an author and he has so much love of God in his heart. He is an author of 5 books and he's available on the internet also. He has a website, elwoodtrost.com, and we are going to talk about certain things in the book of Revelation. I think you would call that end times. Some people would. And Elwood, welcome to Christ Today.
Oh, thank you, John. It's awesome to be here. Thank you for having me on your program.
Elwood, we are exciting, every one of us, to hear the things that are going on. And we know things are going on in the world, but when we try to understand it, well, we can see this and that, but you have an understanding of Revelation and end times things through from Joshua to Revelation, and I'd love to hear what you have to say. So where would we start on in looking at these matters?
Well, I'd like to start sharing some types and shadows in the Old Testament that unlocked the book of Revelation. The first one is actually the 7 days of creation. You know, God, there were 6 days of creation, and then the 7th day he rested. And we know that one day to God is like 1,000 years to us. So if we use that, we can say there's 6,000 years of human history, and 1,000 years that Jesus will rule the earth, restoring it. And so we've had 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years from Abraham to Christ, and 2,000 years after Christ, where we are today. So therefore, we know that the millennial reign is destined to start at any time now. The second type is one generation. When Jesus said, when you see the fig tree blossom, it'd be one generation, and all these end time prophecies would be fulfilled. And according to Psalm 90, one generation is 70 to 80 years. And we're right now, Israel became a nation in 1948. That was the fig tree putting forth its blossom. And we're 73 years from that time. So we're between 70 to 80 years right now. So there's another indication of how close the second coming is. Ooh. And then I'd like to go to the Battle of Jericho, how that is. That's also a type of the second coming, and how the seals and trumpets and bowl judgments fit together. And the Feast of the Lord, Jesus fulfilled the first spring feast at his first coming, and then the fall feast he will fulfill at the second coming. So this gives us more insight on the second coming. Then I'd like to share about some general signs that Jesus told us to watch for. And then there's a couple of specific signs that he told us to watch for. And when we see those signs, we know when the second coming is going to happen. We haven't seen those specific signs yet, but when we see him, we're going to know when he's coming. And we won't know the day or the hour, and I'll explain that also, but we'll know the season that he's coming back. So,
wow, what a lot to cover. This is wonderful. Because this is interesting to just about everyone to understand what is coming in the future. So this is wonderful. Right now is the time. And as you said, Israel is the indicator.
The second coming is, I believe, is sooner than a lot of people think it is. And I think there needs to be some teaching brought out about it to get people ready so it doesn't catch them off guard. Like the first coming caught the people off guard and they didn't recognize their Savior. So if we look at the Battle of Jericho, one day I was praying and I just asked the Lord, what's the key to put all this together? And he says, look at my instructions to Joshua for the Battle of Jericho. And I'm thinking, what's that got to do with it? It didn't make any sense to me. But when I looked at the instructions, actually recorded in Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, I looked at that, and they marched around the city six times. And then the seventh day, they marched around seven times, blowing their trumpets. And I saw that if one day equaled a year, then we could see one seal being opened each year, and then the seventh seal would open the seventh year and the trumpet judgments. So that would make the trumpet judgments last 1 year. He comes back at the last trumpet. Rahab's brought out. So that's a picture of the resurrection, rapture, resurrection. I believe they're the same event. And then they go up and burn the city, and that's the type of the bowl judgments. And so all of a sudden it made sense to me that that was an outline of how the seals and trumpet judgments and bowl judgments all fit together, and the length of each one in the 7 year of Daniel's 70th week. And let me go back to why we know there's that 7 year period. Daniel 9:27 says he will make a covenant with many for 1 week, which is a 7 year period. And in the middle of that week, he will break the covenant, set up the abomination of desolation, and take the sacrifices away. And then we know the great tribulation starts. And then there's 3.5 years until the Lord comes back at that time. And that's why we won't know the day or the hour, but we'll know when he's coming back, when we see that sign. And I'll cover that a little bit more later, too. But
good.
So the Battle of Jericho gives us a picture of how the seals, trumpets, and bowl judgments all relate to one another. So then now let's talk about the feasts of the Lord, because they're also prophetic. And there are seven feasts listed in Leviticus 23. And the spring feast, Jesus fulfilled at the first coming. There were the Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. And he fulfilled them to the day and the hour. And then 50 days after he was resurrected, we have the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. And we know the church was fulfilled. The Holy Spirit fell on the church on that day. And so those feasts have been fulfilled. And then you have a summertime, which is symbolic of the 2,000 years we're in right now. And then you have the fall feast of the Lord, which he will fulfill at the second coming. And they are the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And we believe he'll come back on the Feast of Trumpets. And it's kind of interesting that no one knows the day or the hour that feast begins. All the other feasts fall in the middle of the month and on a full moon, so we know when they are. But 2 days are set aside for the Feast of Trumpets because we don't know the day or the hour it begins. And the reason for that is they have to see the sliver of the first moon, new moon, and it has to be confirmed by the priests. And once they see that, they'll start the Feast of Trumpets. So basically, Jesus was telling us he was coming back on the Feast of Trumpets when he said nobody would know the day or the hour. But then he gave us signs that we would know when he's coming back and what feast he would come back on, which I say we can't set a date, or a lot of people have tried to set dates and muddied the water to where anyone talks about the end times now is discredited or thought to be a heretic. But the truth is, God gave us like 150 chapters on the second coming in the Bible, and we should be reading the Bible for ourselves, because he also said it's a day of deception before he comes back. That was the first sign he gave us, was deception. And there's a lot of deception been taught about the second coming. It's muddied the water. But I advise people to read the Bible for themselves so they can look through, they can see the deception. And then the Lord, you know, gave us some general signs of the second coming, and specific signs, which I've already covered a couple of specific signs.
Well, these all come together when you have a good grasp of it. But there's so many people who just want the quick answer. Is there a quick answer? Or how do we put these together when we're really not familiar with the book of Jericho and the chapters out of Daniel where that 70 week is? How do we put this together and relate it to both the book of Revelation and our lives?
Yeah, let me share some of the general signs of the second coming that Jesus told us to watch for.
Mm-hmm.
He said, take heed in this, Matthew chapter 24, for many will come in my name, saying, Christ 6 says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. When you read the book of Revelation, beginning in chapter 6, you find out that it's talking about these same events. The first, the white horse, which is symbolic of the animal and deception. And that was the first warning that Jesus gave it. And it says, you will hear of wars and rumors of war. So the second horse, the red horse, it takes peace from the earth. And we're starting at the second seal. And then it says, for nation will rise up against nation. That's part of the second seal too. But then there will be famines. That's the black horse that rides forth. It's symbolic of famine. There'll be pestilence, and that's the fourth seal, and earthquakes at various places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. So the good thing about birth pains, well, the negative thing about birth pains is they get more intense and closer together, and I believe the shaking has begun for the second coming.
Uh-huh.
The good news is there are periods of rest in between the birth pains. And so then Jesus goes on in verse 9, chapter 24 of Matthew, verse 9. He says, and then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come.
These are the things that really we're going to have to deal with. Now, perhaps not us, but our neighbors will, but probably us. I mean, look at the time frame. It's getting short. And these things, when we see them pass, this is to give us a reassurance that we know the end and we have a hope in a future with Jesus Christ.
Yes, and if we read on in Matthew 24, mm-hmm. Chapter 15, Jesus gives us a specific sign that I was referring to earlier. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, and he says, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee into the mountains. And we know at that time, it's halfway through the last 7 years because of Daniel 9:27, which says in the middle of that week, he will come in and set up the abomination of desolation.
And that is when the abomination of desolation is. What happens then? That's when the Antichrist comes into the temple. I'm going to let you take that one.
Yeah, he comes into the temple, takes away the sacrifices. That means the sacrifices have started on the temple by then. He takes them away, and that begins the Great Tribulation. And we know the Great Tribulation is 42 months, 3.5 years, times and half a time. That's different ways the Bible records that last 3.5 years. And then we know Jesus comes back at the end of that 3.5 years, destroys the Antichrist and his system, and sets up his kingdom reign, which will be the next 1,000 years. That 1,000 years, the earth will be restored to a new earth, and we'll have a new earth and a new heaven at that time. And then he rules on into eternity. So you might say that God's not through creating yet. He's still creating the universe. We're in process now. And, you know, a lot of people just see the negative about what's coming. And it is going to be a hard time. It's a time of shaking. But it's shaking out the evil, and it's bringing in the good. And so there's a good side of it. And I see another type of this time is Noah's Ark. And Noah was on the Ark 1 year and 10 days. And if I'm right about my revelation of the Battle of Jericho, if I'm right about that, the trumpet judgments, which begin the wrath of God, the last year of the tribulation, and the 10 days of the bowl judgments is actually 1 year and 10 days. So I think that's a mighty coincidence that Noah was on the ark 1 year and 10 days, and God's judgment, his wrath of God, lasts at the end of the age 1 year and 10 days, the way I see it. And so I think that's very interesting. And then in verse 21, Jesus says in Matthew 24:21, for then there will be great tribulations such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor or ever shall be. And unless those days are shortened, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect saved, those days will be shortened. So we have the Great Tribulation. He says the abomination of desolation in verse 15, verse 21, then the Great Tribulation. And then in verse 29, he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other end. So Jesus puts the rapture, resurrection, after the Great Tribulation. And that's why we're going to know when he's coming back. If he comes back on the Feast of Trumpets, we'll not know the day or the hour. But we're going to know he's coming back on the Feast of Trumpets 3.5 years after we see the Antichrist sitting in the temple claiming to be God. And that's how we can know when the second coming is going to happen. And we can't know right now. So anyone that sets a date now, don't believe them. But when we see that sign, and by the way, he wouldn't have told us to be looking for that sign if we weren't going to be here halfway through that tribulation. Why would he tell us? Why would he tell the enemy, look for that sign? He's telling God's people to look at that sign. And he also says that the very elect could be deceived if possible. So deception is really our enemy right now. And the way you overcome deception, read the Word of God yourself and not everything you're hearing. Yeah. You had something to say, John?
Well, I'm just believe that so strongly that we need to read the Word of God and understand as much as we can. And then the Holy Spirit gives us more understanding, just like he has with you. And we all are trying to grasp this. And in the book of Revelation, it is hopeful, but there is trouble as well. But the hope is in Jesus and his return, his kingdom here on earth that we get to be a part of. That's all.
Yeah, you know, Paul says that sudden destruction will come on them. And he's talking about Israel, because once that covenant is made by the Antichrist, they think they're in peace. But then he breaks that covenant halfway through the 7 years. But Paul also goes on to say that we will not be surprised because we're in the light. And that's 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 8. So we're not going to be in the dark about this. And when we see these specific signs fulfilled, we're going to know exactly where we are in relation to the second coming. Mark Biltz, who is a pastor that revealed and the Feast of Tabernacles in 2014-2015, said they were a seven-year warning of a Semita cycle that was coming that would start these 7 years. And it has to be a Semita cycle, according to him. And what he says is September 26th, 27th, like I said, they set more than one day aside for the Feast of Trumpets. This is the Feast of Trumpets in 2022. Could be the starting of the last 7 years, which would put the second coming on the Feast of Trumpets in 2029. And so anyway, if he is right, and we'll have to wait to see if these signs develop during that time, if he is right, that second coming could be in this decade that we're talking about, which fits the 6,000-year type, at starting the seventh year, 7,000 years of rest, or the rule of Jesus Christ. Or if not, it has to wait for another 7 years. And, you know, he's Jewish, so he knows a lot more about it than I do, because I'm not Jewish. But I think it's something we need to be watching for. And, you know, Jesus told us to watch. It's not like, and I know there's been a lot of abuse about end time prophecy, and anyone that wants to speak to it is subject to being called a heretic, but... I feel God's called me to talk about it and help educate people, because, you know, when there are deceptions, there's also truth. And the truth is in the Word of God, and that's where I've gotten my revelation. Is I've been a Christian for 47 years now, and I've read the Bible, and this is what's been revealed to me. And I've also understand all the abuse that has been taught about the end times and why we're all suspect to believe in it and believe that we can know when the Lord's coming back. Another thing that kind of confirms that it'll be coming back in 2029 is right after I was writing this out, I went on the internet and I found out that this asteroid, Apophis, is supposed to hit our planet April 13th, 2029. And so I've got the trumpet judgments that year, starting on the Feast of Trumpets in 2028 and ending in September 2029 at the second coming of the Lord, if that's when it happens. I'm not prophesying that's going to happen, because we have to see some other signs before we can know for sure. But the first trumpet judgment says, the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. A third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Revelation 8:7. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. Revelation 8:8. The third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the waters and on the springs of water. And the name of the star was Wormwood. The third of the waters became blood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. That's Revelation 8:10-11. The fourth angel sounded, and the third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that the third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. That's Revelation 8:12. So there's two more trumpets to sound after that. Then the Lord returns at the last trump. So this fits with my scenario. If it actually hits the earth at that time, that this is a picture of what would happen if it did.
And or a near miss. It could also have a near miss and go through the atmosphere and still affect the earth ever so greatly.
That's a good point, John. Yeah. And Tom Horn, who's the one that wrote a book about this, and they're saying it's not going to come close anymore because they're afraid of starting mass panic.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be surprised at any of those. But these things are signs given to us so that we can have a hope that we are seeing the end of things and the return of Jesus. There are things that are going to happen, and we will get through them.
Yeah. That's the whole picture of Noah's flood. He was above the circumstances, and God's people are going to be above the circumstances during these times. He's going to release a supernatural power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and cleanse the lepers during this time. And, I mean, he already has, but we're going to see an increase of it during that time. And we're going to see so many people saved during the Great Tribulation that they can't be counted. The Great Tribulation is God's harvest time. And you don't take your harvesters home during harvest time. They're here to work. It's actually a privilege to be here at this time. If you can look at it, see the full picture, because from the Great Tribulation on, we have everlasting joy forever. And Satan is bound. Creation's renewed. We live happy ever after. So we have to go through a little bit of a hard time. And even in that hard time, it's God's love, because he knows that people won't turn to him unless they go through some hard times. And most of us never came to the Lord either until we came through some hard times ourselves.
That's true.
That's what brought us to the Lord. And so God in his love, he'll let us go through some stuff to save us, basically.
Yeah.
And so we're to look at what's coming as the destruction of the wicked, which he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to be saved. But if they refuse to come to him, he has no option. And when the judgments begin to fall, people are either going to soften their heart and come to him through the judgment, or they're going to harden their heart. So you're going to have people going both directions. There's no going to be no right in the fence anymore after that, and when these judgments come. So they're really, they're good, even though, you know, none of us want to go through it, the hard part of it. But that's why we got to look at the joy that's set before us. Like Jesus, it said he endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him. And so that needs to be our meditation on the everlasting joy that we're going to have with the Lord, the double portion of honor that we're going to have, the prosperity of the wicked that we're going to have. These are things we need to imagine to help us get through this time, because without a close relationship with the Lord, we're not going to make it. So right now, we need to be preparing by drawing closer to the Lord, just getting everything out of our life that's between us and God, repenting of known sin, and just really pressing into the Lord's, spending more time in prayer every day, and worship, and just getting to know our God. You know, the book of Job, the main theme of the book of Job, he went through a lot of suffering, but what happened was, he says, I knew about God, but now I know God. And I know that in that last day, I'm going to stand on the earth. He was talking about the resurrection. God had showed him the resurrection. And that's the promise that we have as believers. It's not that we're going to live forever in this body, but that we'll live forever in a resurrected body, a new body that never gets sick, dies, or ever gets unhappy again, you know. So we got a lot of promises of God that we can look forward to, and we can only get a glimpse of that. We see it through a glass dimly right now, but you know, we're going to be able to he's got so much good in store for us that we can't even realize it today, but just we can just believe that God loves us and he's going to get us through this.
And that is, again, what I see in, for instance, the Battle of Jericho or the Daniel 70th week or all these things in Revelation with the seals and the trumpets and the bowls. These are showing themselves to be some pretty tough times, but they all are indicators that this is the schedule. And then we know what we have to go through before the joy that we have in the end. That's what I see.
Yeah, exactly, John.
And so when we see these time frames, that you see the patterns, and I think they're wonderfully put together, what God has shown you. But we also have the things that are, well, they're right in front of us. There's the blood moons as a pattern. There's this comet, it's an asteroid, Apophis, that is set to come by in 2029. These are things to show the love of God. And even though they're hard times, I thought it was excellent how you said, we have all been through a hard time. No, most of us have. And that is what brought us close to the Lord.
Yes. You know, speaking of signs in the heavens, we also had a solar eclipse that came across America in 2017, and that it's supposed to have another. We're supposed to have another one come across that forms an X over the Mississippi River in 2004. I believe it's April of 2004, and who knows what that means? But it could mean that there'll be an earthquake. You know, one of the signs of the...
Yeah. 2024, that is?
That's, 2024.
So that's just a couple of years away.
I believe that's April.
Yeah. And, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember that too.
Yeah. And so that just came to my mind also that there should be some shaking in 2024.
Yes.
When that other solar eclipse comes across America and forms that X. And that... You know, God is speaking to us, but are we listening? That's,
yeah.
Are we watching? Because I know that, you know, the end time prophecy and stuff like that is in question. And, you know, I think one of the reasons it is because Satan knows how important it is to know what's going on today. And he's muddied the water. He's used false prophets, false teachers, to teach lies about the second coming. And so anybody that talks about the second coming is suspect to begin with. But like I said earlier, when there's deception, there's also truth. And that truth you'll find in the Bible. But you have to read it for yourself and pray that God will show you the truth. And it's taken me a long time to come up with what I'm seeing right now. I mean, I started 47 years ago. And some of the revelation I'm sharing with you, I got recently. You know, it takes time, but the sooner you get started, the sooner you're going to get there. And God is lifting up some teachers today that are good teachers on the end time. Joel Richardson, to mention one, you know, he's opened the book of Daniel. You know, the book of Daniel has been closed until recently. It's just been open in the last few years. And so Joel Richardson does some really good teaching on how he believes the Antichrist is a Muslim from the north. And we know that Revelation or Daniel 11 chapter talks about the king of the north and the king of the south. It's talking about Syria or Turkey, and the king of the south is Egypt. Mm-hmm. And Israel lays between the two of them. And what the 11th chapter of Daniel says, that when the king of the north comes down and he actually conquers Egypt during this tribulation time and takes back a spoil, and then he goes down the second time, and it says ships from Tarsus, which is ships from western lands, come in and intercept him. And then he doesn't go to Egypt. He turns and goes in and conquers Israel at that time. And then we know we're halfway through the last 7 years when that happens. And I'm saying, well, if he doesn't rule the whole world, like Joel Richardson says, he rules over those 10 nations that surround Israel that are trying to destroy Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the good news is he might not ever rule over America or the West, mm-hmm. but the Middle East. And I think that scripture confirms it, because who are these ships that come in against him if he's ruling the whole world? That shows he's not in ruling the whole world. So that gives us hope. But then on the other hand, Jesus said we'd be persecuted in all nations.
Yeah.
But you know, if you really check things out right now, we're being persecuted in America too today. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're talking about the Bible being hate speech. I mean, that's persecution. And then I know it's not like in Iran and China and North Korea right now, but we are being persecuted more in a subtle way where, you know, if you're a Christian and you want to share the gospel, you're looked down on. People see you as being narrow. When you say Jesus is the only way, they see you as being narrow. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We're just telling what Jesus, who was God in the flesh, he's saying, if you want God, you have to go to God. You know, that's basically what he's saying. And he said there's no other way to God except through him. because he was God in the flesh. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't, you know, if we believe all the New Age stuff and, you know, there's many ways to God and all that stuff, that's all of Satan to stumble us to miss salvation. And that's why we need to read the Bible and believe what the Bible says if we're going to make it through this time of deception.
And you know. And know it for yourself. And that's why, as you say, read it yourself. That is our best guard against not being deceived. And that's mentioned so often in the Bible. That yeah. Deception is something, if Joel Richardson says that the Antichrist is Muslim, he might not show himself to be Muslim. Oh, he might have that hidden, and that is another part of the deception that we all have to be aware of. Things are not as they appear.
That's a good point, John. He could be a Muslim with Jewish blood too. I mean,
wow, that's true.
So, we're seeing through a glass dimly, but you know, we are seeing some things, and we just want to put it out in love. We don't want to scare anybody. We don't want to depress anybody, but we can't have our heads stuck in the sand either, because things are shaking in the world right now.
Things are shaking. They sure are. We even get earthquakes sometime.
And you know, the Bible says everything will be shaken. Yes. It can be shaken, because God's going to shake everything out of this planet that doesn't line up with love. Our God is a God of love, and I don't care what it looks like and what you believe, but that is true.
Yes.
Everything he does is in love, and if it doesn't look like that, it's a lie, because the Bible is true, that God is love, and the only way of salvation is to come to him through Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. But I liked what you said earlier about God is shaking out the evil. That's what you just said too. And God is bringing in the good. And that's a part of what is happening in the book of Revelation and the things that you are putting into a pattern so that we can see better the time frame of it.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I just love the way you see the signs and the specific things happening. They're a little hard to grasp and put it all together when we try to, well, the Battle of Jericho is an example that, well, I can understand it as I study it, but it's not something that just is evident, just as the fall feasts are not exactly evident. But as the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, and you've studied.
Yeah, and there's a couple of verses that really describe the second coming in detail.
Uh-huh.
One of them is chapter 3 of Habakkuk.
Oh.
And I think it's one of the best descriptions in the Bible of the second coming.
Hmm.
And it says he comes back to Mount Paran, leads a military campaign up through Jordan, which is also recorded in Isaiah 63:1-5. And then comes into the promised land. And so that's why I say he comes back at the last trump, resurrects his people, leads a military campaign for the next 10 days up to the Mount of Olives. And when he puts his foot on the Mount of Olives, we have Armageddon. And those are fall feasts, the Feast of Trumpets. He comes back. The Day of Atonement is Armageddon 10 days later. So the second coming is not a one-day deal. It takes 20-some days or something. Well, you got the 10 days of the military campaign up through Jordan. Then you got 5 days, the Feast of Tabernacles begins, which I believe is the Marriage Supper of the Lamb begins. So the second coming is a period of several days. And then in Daniel, it says it's 1,260 days plus 75 days. And so there's a cleansing of the temple that has to take place. So the second coming is a process. It's not a one-day deal. And but we really believe he does come back on the Feast of Trumpets, and that's what he was telling us when he said nobody would know the day or the hour. He wasn't telling us we wouldn't know when he's coming back. Why else would he give us all the signs to look for?
That's true.
And so the Jews of that day, when he said you won't know the day or the hour, they would know he was talking about the Feast of Trumpets, because that's the only feast that begins the month, like I said, that they have to see a sliver of the moon, and two priests of the Sanhedrin have to confirm it, and that's why they set 2 days aside for it. In case it's cloudy one day, they can't see it, then they maybe see it the next day, and then once they confirm it, the trumpet is blowing, that's what starts a feast. So nobody knows the day or the hour it begins. And this is why we have to rightly divide the word if we're going to come up with the truth and not just take one scripture and just go build a doctrine on one scripture.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been one of the things that I've thought of is a cult. A cult will take one scripture or a couple and make them be the whole focus of their organization.
Yeah, and you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say if you take scripture out of context, and you can make your argument pretty persuasive too. Let me give you an example. We're not appointed to wrath, so we're raptured before the tribulation. That scripture says we're not appointed to wrath, but to have salvation through Jesus Christ. It doesn't say anything about a rapture in that scripture, but it's convincing when you hear that. Or another scripture is in Revelation 3:10. It said, because you've persevered, I will keep you from the hour of trial that's coming on the earth.
Mm.
So therefore, we're not going to be here. We're going to be kept. Well, if you look at keep in the Greek, it doesn't mean rapture. It means protection.
Uh-huh.
And it happens to be that Jesus prayed for our protection during that time, during the Great Tribulation. In John 17:15, he says, I pray you do not take them out of the world.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But that you keep them from the evil one. Well, the evil one's the Antichrist that he's talking about there. So he's prayed for our protection. We will be protected. There'll be some martyrs during that time. But you know what? It's a blessing to be martyred, you know? And it might sound a little crazy, but I'm looking at it from eternity. You get a martyr's crown forever. You get that double honor forever that you stood up for Jesus when everything in the world was going against him. And you're going to have that honor forever. So,
I do look at the wonders of heaven, or the New Jerusalem, and how things are going to be so wonderful. And there's descriptions. We have these descriptions so that we can see, again, just like you're doing. You're looking at the patterns. The patterns are so glorious, and we can look forward to that. But it's good to have a little time frame so that we can get confident to know that there will be an end, just like with the birth of a child. There's a beginning and there's an end. And we know when we've been through that process, we know how comforting it is to know that there is an end when we have seen a woman in childbirth. And of course, she feels that too. But that's what I think these patterns that you are bringing out are so important to know. They're markers so that we can see it.
Well, I think they're important to know because faith comes from hearing the Word of God, you know, and knowing what God is doing, it's going to help our faith. And we're going to need faith to get through these times. And like you said, once the baby is born, the pain is forgotten. And you rejoice in the new birth, the baby, and that's the thousand year reign of Christ is going to be awesome. You know,
Awesome.
Can you imagine a world where Satan is bound? And there's no more conflict in marriage. There's during that 1,000 years, it says if somebody dies at 100 years old, they'll die as a child. So that means God, like in the beginning, when people live 900 years, they're going to live a long time during the millennial reign. And then, of course, once we go in eternity after that, they'll live forever, you know.
Yeah.
There'll be very little crime. You know, I'll say there'll still be a little bit of crime because we're in a process of restoration during that 1,000 years. But it'll be very little because Satan will be bound. And family relationships will be perfect, awesome. Our relationship with our friends will be upgraded. We need an upgrade. And so anyway.
That's a lot of hope. It is.
But we do have to go through a little shaking to get there. You know, it's kind of like a shopping center. Gets old, the wrecking crew comes in, takes it out, and presto, you got a new shopping center.
Oh yeah.
So that's what this is all about, is give us a new world, a new heaven, and a new earth where righteousness, you know, there is so much unrighteousness today and wickedness.
And
people are getting away with it because God is going to judge it. He's got that day set aside, and he's starting now with the shaking that's going on. He's shutting this world system down because he's getting ready to take it over, take it back from Satan. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this age, but God gets blamed for all the evil in the world. But I think we need to start blaming the real culprit, Satan. Yeah. He's the one that's brought evil into the world. And he's the one that's going to go out shortly, and not too any too soon, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. No, it's glorious.
Yeah.
And we have a hope and a future, and this is talked about in, well, it's different places in the Bible, but this is something that we have to remember as we go through the process. It's all for our glory, or God's glory, and our hope in a future. So we are glad for that. We look forward to the things that are coming.
Amen to that, John. Amen.
The second coming is, well, it's going to be wonderful, and we get to see the patterns. I am so glad to have how you have looked at the patterns to try to understand things in a time frame, so we have that comfort.
Well, I won't take any of the credit.
Okay. No, I understand.
If I get any revelation, it's from my Lord. And but I have read the Bible. I have prayed for revelation on it. And we all have different callings. We all have different gifts in the body. And, you know, we just have to do what he's telling us to do, you know. And it all works together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And the things that are coming down today, he's working in them for the good. He's going to bring good out of it. And that needs to be our focus, that, hey, none of us like the shaking. I mean, my flesh doesn't like it. I don't want to go through it. My flesh doesn't. But my spirit does, because my spirit knows the truth. And so that's another thing we're just learning, that to we're spirit, we're soul, and we're body, and we need to submit our soul, which are our mind, our heart, and our emotions, our will and emotions. We need to submit that to our spirit. We need to submit our body to our spirit, and then submit our spirit to the Holy Spirit. And we need to learn to look in the mirror in the morning and bless our spirit. Just look in the mirror and just bless your spirit to be in control of your soul and your body, and then to submit your spirit to the Holy Spirit. And that'll get you started on the right.
It's exciting. Now, we have a couple of minutes left, and I do want to remind people that you are an author, and you do have books that you have for sale on your website, which is elwoodtrost.com. And your books are, well, they're about end-time things and kingdom principles. But, Elwood, would you say a little bit about what your books are? We just have 2 minutes. Could you tell us just a little and then maybe a prayer?
Well, my webpage, it's actually new. I just got it going. It's elwoodtrost, T-R-O-S-T.com. And I have four of the books that I've written about the end times that I share what I just shared on this broadcast. And one of them is on the Kingdom Principles from Sermon on the Mount. And it's designed basically for a home group that wants to get into the Sermon on the Mount. And it's not about end times. It's about the Sermon on the Mount, which is the law of the kingdom that's coming. And the sooner we get into that and learn it, the better off we're going to be.
1 minute.
Okay, I got 1 minute to go. Well, John, it's been a pleasure to be on the station with you here.
Yeah.
And, we've been friends for some time now. And so I want to thank you again for giving me a chance to share my heart with the people. And I just pray that that they can receive it, study it out, and be on the same page with the Lord in these coming days.
Well, you have knowledge, you have wisdom, you have a lot of things. And I'm so thankful that you would share them and make these understanding of patterns available.
Yep.
Well, we just have 10 seconds. You want to just say a thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we just thank you for all you're doing in the earth today, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Elwood Trust. So very nice to you.